Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Today, we're out live on Spotify. Green Room Buddy, hit us with the beats.
There's only one beat we need to say. Joe Harris. That's right, Lumber Joe. We know that the fans were frustrated with this player. You all know that I was willing to die on the hill that was Joey Buckets. And we dive in on the playoff performance and also remind you that there's more than just the four games at the end of the Bucks series to consider. We remind you about his regular season and why he was re-signed by this organization and Sean Marks in support of the Big Three Superstars. It's about the perfect piece to complement these players as they pursue a championship once 100% healthy and back on track. It's a lot of fun. It's a great Spotify Green Room session as well. Let's get in on the action, man.
Oh, you know what? This one was a good one. Had a great time in Green Room. Going to get it started right now. But first, theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Brooklyn. All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day, and also broadcasting live in Green Room right now. Doug Norrie here along with Adam Armbrecht. I want to talk about everything we can do here with the Brooklyn Nets. The offseason rolling along. We've already covered a bunch of it already. Going to cover a bunch of it in Green Room here as well. Buddy, how are we doing?
I feel good. I feel great. As you know, we're doing this ahead of the game two of the NBA Finals. But in our quest to cover the Brooklyn Nets and break down their offseason while reflecting on the year that was, I think we come up to what I'm like almost shocked that this became a hot button player for Brooklyn Nets fans, and that's Joe Harris. And so much I was saying at the top that so much changed perceptually around a guy that just before the playoffs started, maybe even just before the Bucks series started, this is a dude that everyone couldn't have been higher on. He was coming off another phenomenal season. We were talking about the new facets of his game that he introduced. And then over one series, it just completely plummeted. And it's as if the sky has fallen. And some sections of Brooklyn Nets fans think that this is a guy that should be talked about in a possible trade scenario to improve this roster this offseason.
Yeah, I'm shocked that we're here. I don't agree with it. We'll get into a lot of it. I don't agree with the sort of the continued Joe Harris sky is falling. I get that I'm going to have trouble pulling out numbers that are going to make people feel better about it. I'm completely and 100% aware of that. But it is, if we just want to go through the why we're talking about it now, is pretty obvious, right? He 37 minutes a game in the Bucks series, was torched by Middleton on defense. I'll give him kind of a pass on that part of it just because he's probably playing above his weight defensively there, though people will probably make the case, well, he's making, you know, $18 million a year, so he should be able to defend that the position. Or I guess it was 16 this year, but he should be able to defend that position a little better. Okay, I can hear that. You want to go through the numbers in terms of the final series, 10 shots a game, 7 three-pointers, which you kind of love to see that amount, that volume shooting from Joe Harris. I think if he's taking that many threes, you're generally feeling probably pretty good about it because he doesn't tend to force shots. And he shoots 31% and missed a bunch of ones that the Nets really, really needed at critical sort of peak times or swing times during the game. And so I totally get why Nets fans are frustrated with this guy. Big offseason signing for them. Got must-keep guy. You know, been around for a while. And then when the stage got the biggest, when we'll say that conference semifinals, that it just didn't happen with some frankly really bad games. The 1-for-7 in game 3, 1-for-7 in game 5, and then 1-for-4 game 6, makes a couple in game 7, but a couple that really they wide open looks that they needed. So I get it. I'm not going to say that they should trade him, but I guess, you know, if you want to make that case, you can. I don't think you will. but I will say, I'll start this off by saying I get the Joe Harris frustration, and I think we have to have a steadier hand here.
Well, so that's a big part of it for me, because no, I'm not going to be in the vein of Joe Harris should be traded, and especially based on the idea, if the premise is what a bad series against the Bucks, he should be traded. Well, that's just way too reactionary for me to put any real stock in. And then the other piece of it for me too is, you know, you mentioned, I know you were just setting what his actual, you know, price tag was for this year. So it's not like it, well, at $16 million, you wouldn't be expected to defend Middleton so well, but at $18 million, it changes the barometer. But the other thing that I think is a reality here is when you bring something like that up, and I don't mean you know, when fan base or when critics, when NBA analysts talk about, boy, he's really getting torched defensively. Yeah. Lay out the scenario where anyone thought that Joe Harris was supposed to be a defensive stopper against Chris Middleton. Now, it doesn't change the fact that you still want him to stay in front of him or at least be mildly effective, etc. But it's not like that's why he was on this roster in the first place. And, you know, I was saying also in thinking about this narrative around him, remember, this is a regular season where he shot 47% from beyond the arc. Like, he had, it was by 0.001, his best three-point shooting percentage of his career. He also shot 55% from two. So, you know, it's like he had such a strong season and we were all so high on what he had done for us. And in that, to acknowledge, like you say, the frustration, I get that even though the series against the Bucks was wrapped up inside of the injuries and what the Nets weren't when you get into that series, There's no getting past the fact, and people have looked at this, if you go back and look at Joe Harris's playoff performances overall in his career, for the most part, he's been a little bit underwhelming when it comes to the playoffs. He hasn't played to the same stat lines that you get from him in the regular season, and this particular postseason and this particular series against the Bucks just kind of spoke to this idea of pressure on him to step up in the absence of other players. And clearly he felt that pressure and could not overcome it at any point. And nothing was more glaring than when we talked about, listen, there's the normal contested shots, et cetera. They're not going down. Okay. But then there were, especially in the last game of that series, the wide open three that you feel like Joe Harris could close his eyes and knock it down 7 out of 10 times. And when that one didn't fall, it was just, this guy has spooked himself and there's no coming back from that. And there's a mental component there that maybe he just is not quite built the way superstars typically are, where the biggest moments is what they rise to, and maybe Joe Harris just isn't that guy. And that's a fair criticism to be concerned about if you have expectations of him, even when healthy, the entire team, for him to be a big contributor. You can't look at him next year with a fully healthy team and have him have a performance like this in a big playoff series.
Yeah, Ty jumps in into Spotify or Green Room and just says, yeah, he got to go. So I can see where this is going. But
Come on, Ty, knock it off. And we will, by the way, get into some of the I think, the functions of what that would look like, even if only to dispel it. But because fans like Ty, I'm not knocking you for having the opinion per se. I do disagree with it, and I think there's some clear-cut reasons why.
All right, we're going to get into some more Joe Harris talk here in a second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Basketball rolling through the championships here in the finals. Baseball is clearly still in full swing. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting and betting needs for every league, every kind of bet right over there on Bet Online. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's your chance to get into the game as these teams roll through the finals, roll through the regular season. It's all there for you. Head on over to the website. Sign up today. That's totally free, but you're going to want to make a deposit. And when you do, grab a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus right there on Bet Online. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. I'm just not going to use one playoff series to describe, to make a fundamental judgment around whether Joe Harris should be on the team or not. It's ridiculous. It is so short-sighted to the point of being like sort of malpractice. Because conveniently, the people that want Joe Harris out will skip past the Boston series where he shot 50% from three on basically the same amount of attempts, right? Like 45% from the field, so you don't love that. But for, I mean, still 45% from the field, 50% from three, like that gets, okay, where the Bucks game's a little more pressure, sure. But when you shoot three-pointers, often what will happen is your performances will tend to be sort of lumpy around you know, whether or not you kind of have it going that game or not. That's just the nature of three-point shooting. It's a less percent, you know, there's a lower percentage shot than the other shots on the court. So you were going to shoot a lower percentage there than you would have other places. And you can run sort of bad through a very small sample size. This is a very small sample. A seven-game series is a zero in terms of sample size is nothing. It's, I hate to break it to everyone with the math piece here, but it's not a sample size. It's just a string of games where things went poorly. By the way, it didn't go poorly game one, 5 for 9 from 3, 34 minutes, win. I understand when you sort of look holistically at it that it looks bad, but it's just not a sample size at all. So,
well, and by the way, just throwing game number two of that series as well, 3 for 7 from deep, 5 of 12 from the field. Not an overwhelming performance, but again, I can easily lump together two games and say, here's a guy that shot 8 of 16 from beyond the arc and went 12 of 23 overall from the field. There's nothing wrong with those numbers. Like those are exactly what you want out of Joe Harris. So you take it that step further, and you're basically just saying, yeah, this is about four games. And I think you make the point correct that it's just. I just don't know how you can take that small of a sample size and say, now I'm going to tell you what this player is. And by the way, you're dismissing whatever the 100, 200 plus games that he's played for the Brooklyn Nets since they picked him up.
You dismissed the series before, like I just said. You just another yeah. playoff series with the pressure on. Like I find it to be, frankly, just like I said, a little silly. Now, if you want to look and. If you're going to be the Joe Harris can't show up in playoff game guy, I'm just going to, this is going to be hard for me, even though I just told you he had a great playoff series. So I think, you know, that has to factor in somewhere. You don't just turn in the shooting performance like Joe Harris did over the course of the season if you're a guy that all of a sudden forgets to shoot, how to shoot for like the rest of your life when it comes to the playoffs. I'll never believe that. It simply can't be true. It's just not how basketball and frankly sports really work. I get that there's some guys that, you know, Big Shot Bob, you know, did he have a lot of chances to make big threes in championship games? Yeah. There's probably some guys that are marginally to slightly better when it comes to the pressure being on. And I still, when you look at Joe Harris, effective field goal percentage for this year, 65%, second to only Rudy Gobert. By the way, a lot of times bigs are really credited with effective field goal percentage because they just get dunks. So it's easy to be super efficient when you stand around the rim with your 7-foot tall frame and just dunk the ball. So that's why some of these guys around the top of this list are either pretty like elite 3-point shooters or super huge dudes. Like Rudy Gobert is one, Joe Harris two, Ingles, who had an amazing season, was three, Michael Porter Jr., the total lights out 3-point shooter, four, Mikal Bridges five, and then it just goes through a run of bigs like Robin Lopez, Rashawn Holmes, DeAndre Ayton, la 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 la. That's kind of how the rest of it goes. So you can't dismiss that kind of stuff when you are looking at trying to like retain really good players. Is Joe Harris a little overpaid? Sure. Do we know they probably a little bit overpaid for him in the offseason? I think we knew that at the time. I think that that's something we sort of understood was happening in the moment. And it was sort of the nature of he's a guy we want to bring back. We know what we have with him. He fits in really well. He's a very great compliment. He's a great complimentary piece to some of these other guys. This is even pre-James Harden. He's like a great complimentary piece to a James Harden. It's frankly the exact guy you want to play with James Harden, a lights out sort of spacing shooter that can allow Harden to operate in the lane. That's like that you cannot sag off of over an 82 game series and the playoffs. Like this is the guy you want to put around them. I don't really know another way to put it that. So, I just can't. It's hard for me to entertain it. The other thing that I find a little frustrating from Nets fans that want to send Joe Harris just out on the next train out of town is that I'd love to next hear what the return that you would like to get is. Like that's because you're okay. So I'll tell you right now, you're not getting a better 3-point shooter. So because he's basically like the best in the league. So that's, you know, non-superstar type. So you're not getting a better 3-point shooter. Like what realistically is coming back in the door that you would feel good about? That's the other part where this kind of falls down for me is unless you have, you know, scenarios that, and I know I'm weirdly framing you like you're anti-Joe Harris. You're more pro-Joe Harris than I am, but I'm kind of just like out loud wondering what the return can be, and we'll probably hear about from folks from Green Room here shortly, is like what the return would even be for him, because right now it just doesn't seem to fit into a really easy box.
Well, so yeah, and there's one last piece that I just want to throw in there, and this is like I think this is the way to almost make it, maybe frame it in this sense of overreacting to performances in that inside of that Bucks series. Don't forget that in the first two games when the Nets won, that was when you had, I'm trying to pull up and make sure I get these numbers right here. I'm going to lose track of them here in a second here. In those two losses, sorry, in games 3 and 4, don't forget that Kevin Durant shot 39 and 36% from the field and went a combined 4 of 16 from beyond the arc. Now, he had otherworldly performances overall in the playoffs, but it'd be like coming out of the first four games of this series and coming off of two really bad games from Durant, and the narrative being, to contextualize it around a superstar, saying, boy, and this is, by the way, what national narratives had for Kevin Durant when Harden was injured and when Kyrie was gone. It was, so now Kevin Durant will get a taste of what it's like to not have other superstars around him to go into playoff games with. And he went out and proved that he's more than capable of damn near winning over a dominant team in the Milwaukee Bucks all by himself. But if you wanted to have this reaction, I think in the way that you're talking about four games for Joe Harris, it'd be like saying getting through game four and then going, I guess the spotlight's too bright for Kevin Durant. He just doesn't have it in him to accomplish this. And then he goes out and gives you the performances that he does over the last three games of that series, and we all know what Kevin Durant is. Joe Harris is not Kevin Durant. Does he have the track record in the playoffs? No, he doesn't. None of those pieces. But it's just the idea of overreacting to something that cannot be looked at without contextualizing it over the course of the entire postseason and the entire regular season. Now, to get into the secondary piece, this is the... There's two parts to it. The first part is the idea of trading him in general. I don't think it makes any sense, and it doesn't make any sense when you talk about what the Nets are trying to accomplish. Joe Harris is there to be the supporting piece around these two and then three superstars that you've brought together. So he's very much there to fill a role based on the team as you have constructed it. Do you want to throw out names and put it into a world where you say, Joe Harris, so remove the positional value. You want to tell me some high-level 3-and-D guy that's well beyond anything you get from Jeff Green or anything that you have on this roster or anything you're going to get in the draft, and is a guy that cost $15, $16 million on his contract right now. I'm sure you could find guys around the league like that. But then I think it comes into the making the money work, right? We've talked about some of this off-season stuff and making things like this in trades line up. And then the secondary piece is, as soon as you improve the team in a different area, so let's say defensively, you want to get bigger, you want to have more length, okay, how are you then replacing the three-point shooting production that you got from Joe Harris? Because as much as we may love what Jeff Green did for us this year, that was an aberration relative to the rest of his career. He is not that consistent of a three-point shooter as we got from him over this season. Blake Griffin may have been a revelation after the buyout, but guess what? You can't go back to that well again next year and assume you're going to get the same level of production. The other guys around, the superstars on the court, none of them sniff the level of talent that Joe Harris is as a pure perimeter shooter. So getting better in one area and then completely diminishing yourself in another, it doesn't change, I think, the overall outcome of what the goal is. And because of the injuries that the Nets suffered this year, it's really hard to look at this and say, okay, let's go make a different move now. That would feel like a panic button move as opposed to examining it and saying, boy, we got super unlucky with some injuries at the worst times possible. Just wait until next year. And guess what? The Nets are going to be the odds-on favorite to win the chip again at the start of next season.
Have a little more to get into here. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar, the very best protein bar on the market right now. Point, stop, science is solved. Right now, they have the limited time flavor, the Built Grasshopper Cookie. Fans of the Thin Mint are going to want to get in on this one. And if you're not a fan of Thin Mint, don't at me. Don't really want to hang with you. Thin Mint's the absolute kind of best flavor you can grab out there. Built Bar turned it into one. For a limited time, so you can go and grab that one. If you just want to get on the traditional flavors, coconut, raspberry, salted caramel, cookies and cream, German chocolate, they're all there for you. All the great Built Bar flavors, 17 grams of protein, only 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Those are the stats you want, the stats you need. Right now, you go to Built.com,
use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com. Grab that grasshopper cookie now. LOCKEDON is the promo code, 15% off at Built.com.
Yeah, I just don't. I think that the only people that are frankly entertaining this idea are Nets fans. I'm doing it because we're fans too, and we want to talk about things that Nets fans are talking about. That's the core. It's our core operating kind of goal, right? Like, we want to talk about the things that are on Nets fans' minds, and it's on my mind too about this kind of thing. I just have a different stance around it than others because I want to hopefully have some guidance around, like you said, having steady hands around good decision making. And this is a classic example of where I think sort of just having an emotional reaction to what you saw in a few specific moments would miss the forest for the trees on what Joe Harris's value is. Again, I said he's overpaid. He probably isn't. I mean, effective to how well he shot over the course of the season and how great of a shooter he is, this probably is just where the number lands. It's probably like a tick high, but not really. And when you talk about importance for how a player works into the overall structure and schema of what the Nets are trying to do, he like is the perfect player. This is exactly what you want. A guy who can stretch the floor above the break, can shoot from everywhere. You have to be in his pocket around the perimeter or else he's going to, over the course of a season, torch you. Like, he just does become increasingly more important to this Nets team because of what he provides, especially considering how much the other guys are able to create offensively on their own. To be able to make sure you can't bring help defenders off him is really important for like what they want to do. Really, it would be important for any team. Any team would want this guy for sure. I don't think that probably the market would be there for him, frankly, but I don't even think they're trying to set a market. And I think the Nets are interesting in this way because they do sort of create guys. When you have three guys at the top of your lineup that are so great, I said at the top of the lineup like it's baseball. When you have three guys, when your three best guys are so great, you do create roles for everybody else that will typically make those guys appear even better than they really are. Bruce Brown is a perfect example of this. Bruce Brown was able to play way above, I think, his head because he was asked to do very specific things. He did them awesomely over the course of the season. But it was like a function of who he was playing with as much as it was that he's like a really hard worker and has a really good basketball mind, right? And it's like it's going to be easier to look better around these guys. I think almost anybody the Nets would bring in is going to look better than they are because that's just what happens when you play with guys that are so great that demand so much defensive attention that you can go out and focus on all the other stuff. And if you have guys like that, it's almost always going to look good. That's why it's the unfortunate part that Joe Harris is like the one thing he needed to do well. He didn't do well for the series. I don't think it's the reason they lost it. I don't think it's the reason they lost it, but it's the reason why he's the exact guy you want on the team for the long haul. Because in general and in the aggregate, it is just going to look better than it's going to look bad. I fully believe that, and I know that it's hard to make that claim coming off the series, but I'm still fully standing here, Joe Harris here, against the hordes of people that I know want to send him out. And there's a reason we talk about him fourth among the group. Like, we talked about Kyrie and KD and Harden and re-signing them. We talked about Dinwiddie and what his value has become to the team. And that's why Joe Harris is the next guy that we have to talk about, because that he is just that important to the team.
Well, and by the way, I'm not somebody who keeps receipts or anything like that, but I won't be disappointed if next year we're in the playoffs and Joe is knocking down these buckets. That is the thing where this is the love hate that I have with, I mean, I'm a pure fan as well, but it's the love hate that I have with fan bases in general of, you know, don't talk about him like this now and then sing his praises next playoff next year. Cause that's when you don't get to have it. You got to go live in the corner of, sorry, you wanted me to trade him for, you know, name player X. And now he's here knocking down those big shots for us. And I do fully believe that he'll do that. And to your point, I do equate it to, it's like being on this podcast, Doug. You know, you and your A-level game, I'll call Apex Predator style, when you come to this podcast, makes me elevate mine. I like to think of myself as the Joe Harris of this podcast.
Oh, what am I? Do I get to be all three big three? That's a good one. I you could have just told, you could have just It's weird that you went there. You could have just called yourself Harden in that situation and like still been a star. Why did you not make yourself a star? You're a star.
I believe in myself. No, guess what? Because I am a star, just like Joe Harris is. It's just a matter of time.
I see what you did there.
Just keep, stay
tuned.
We're
going to jump into Spotify.
We're
going to jump into the Spotify green room here in a second if people want to come up. So start putting those requests in. Like I said, we're rolling through an episode. I'd encourage people too, if you didn't go back and if you haven't listened to this week's, we're going kind of person by person through the list of the Nets. And just to recap where we went earlier this week, we talked about how we thought that there was a very good chance that come August that we're going to see a re-signing, an extension of all three of the KD, Harden, and Kyrie group. I'm not sourcing that. That's not a source take. That's just my opinion on what I think the timeline will end up being, or we think the timeline will be. So we broke that down earlier in the week. And we also talked at length about Dinwiddie. And now that he's opted out of his player option, which I think that was the worst kept secret in the world, that he was, basically said it, that he was going to do that, even with the ACL, what the Nets could bring back in terms of possible value, getting something as he walks out the door with him. So that's what we talked about. And then next week, we're going to talk more about, we're going to go through some of these other role players. So we mentioned Bruce Brown here for a minute and what it looks like for his future. And if he played himself into a much bigger contract for next year, which he did, and if those contract demands are going to be palatable to the Nets, I am not sure. We'll talk about Jeff Green, like you mentioned him before as well. We'll talk about Blake. There's lots of questions here. Oh, I forgot we talked about Kevin Love, too. I can't remember. He's not even on the Nets.
We're even talking about guys that aren't a part of the team. Just because, though. There's rumors. There's chatter.
Yeah, Team USA has been pretty good for this. This has been absolute and total fodder. So, yeah, no, we're rolling through the offseason here, I feel like I could do two episodes on just maintaining my love for Joe Harris. And I just, like, I feel like we posted the Jon Snow Game of Thrones picture where you see him standing against the horde the Game of Thrones where he's standing there with a sword and he's all by himself. I feel like we've been there with Joe Harris right now.
All right, we're going to sign off this part of the podcast. Before we jump into Green Room, we got a bunch of people waiting there. Going to jump into some of that talk. As always, make sure you rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Like and subscribe helps those numbers continue to climb. Next time we're in Green Room, come and jump in. Had a great time on this episode. A bunch of people jumped in, talked a lot about the Nets, a lot of different topics, really fun conversation. So make sure you keep your eyes out, ears out for that as well. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Like and subscribe. We'll be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.